Hello, hello there, and welcome to ReWoke, Rewriting Our Kids' Education Podcast. My name is Michelle Person, and we are on a journey. We are rethinking, re-examining, and re-educating ourselves and our children. Last week, we looked at health. This week, we shift a little, and we're going to focus on religion. Yes, religion. A sensitive subject for sure, but one that can directly impact our kids in school. Our guest today, Jimmy McIntosh, is an Umu Awu, a new priest in the African spiritual system of Ifa. And he would like us to consider alternative ways of thinking about religion and spirituality. Separation of church and state. For many Black and Brown families, that is a foreign concept. Church and home, i.e. the state, or in this case the school, are hopelessly intertwined. So much so that it is impossible to see where one ends and the other begins. Intertwining is not always a bad thing. It can provide a sense of self and community and support in times of trouble. But what happens when those worlds collide and begin to contradict each other? When school events conflict with religious beliefs and children are excluded? When religious beliefs conflict with scientific and evidence-based historical data? When who a student feels they are as a person is in direct opposition to who the church tells them they can be. Belgian-American scientist Leo Blakeland said this, "Science and religion have this in common, that their noble aims, their power for good, have often, with wrong men, deteriorated into a boomerang to the human race. Are we the right men or the wrong men? And oh yeah, are you woke?" In many of the districts I've worked with in my career, my kids' life consists of home, school, and church. Church and the beliefs cultivated there have a huge impact on how my children interact with the world around them. Usually it's not an issue, but every so often an incident will arise where those beliefs are in conflict with the goals and policies of the school. A situation that comes to mind is when a student I had got caught stealing from another student. In my school, we believed in restorative justice. When you have hurt someone, you try very hard to repair the harm. The student that got stolen from had very clear beliefs on stealing and that that was a sin and that that was wrong. He was not interested at all in having the harm repaired or letting the other student try to atone for what he had done. When you would ask him about it, his response would be that stealing was a sin and he didn't like sinners. On the surface, that sounds very amusing, but it began to cause real issues in our classroom because these students stopped getting along and then the kids kind of separated into different camps. The kids who were with the kid who was stolen from and the kids who thought that, well, he said sorry, let it go, it's time to move on. It became a real issue. Then there are other issues. Being accepting of classmates with same-sex parents is another issue that I've seen come up in recent years. The church says it's wrong, and therefore there must be something wrong with the student that has the same-sex parents, and sometimes those students can become ostracized. Remember, we are dealing with kids. They often see the world and it's very black and white. There is no gray. Our guest today, Jimmy McIntosh, is here, and he is going to speak with us about some of the ways our traditional beliefs may be limiting our kids and offer an alternative way of thinking that might be radical to some, but liberating to others. Jimmy McIntosh, thank you so much for being here with us today to talk to us about the African spiritual system of Ifa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor for me to be sitting with you and having this conversation. I think it's very important.
I agree. That's why we reached out to have you on. Can you start at the beginning of your journey? Because a lot of people are going to be sitting here listening, thinking, why is she talking about religion? And this is a show about education. And it's because, in my opinion, religious education is a large part of who we are as a people. And sometimes that can be a good thing. And sometimes that can be a stifling thing, and it can inhibit growth. So my goal with this show is to show people that there are alternatives that they can, begin thinking about and open their minds in terms of what they present to their children. So tell me, how does a young man who was born and raised in a fairly Christian household, how do you become a, and forgive me if I mispronounce it, a Omu, say me one more time, an Omu Awu, a new priest in the African spiritual system of Ifa?
Yes, this Omu Awu.
Omu Awu, yeah.
Yes, yes. So I tell people all the time that that I was raised Christian, but I was not raised in the church. My mom actually never went to church, to my memory. I don't ever recall her going. I know I never went with her. Mm-hmm. But from time to time, I would go with my grandmother to church. And my best friend growing up, his dad actually is a pastor. So I would go there every now and again. For me, the issue was I read the Bible and I had more questions than answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a point as a young adult where I wanted to have that journey with religion and kind of figure that out. And Christianity is all I knew. So I started there. And one day I was praying, actually, and I said to myself, I'm probably not even talking to anybody, just out of the blue. And years later, a friend of mine on Facebook was talking about, the diet and what we should and shouldn't be eating. So I did some research to kind of question him because it was ridiculous. And at that point, I realized that I was wrong. And from there, I went on a journey to literally question everything that I thought I knew was true.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up with religion. And when I got there, it really opened my eyes to a lot of great things. And here comes Ifa.
I really love that. The idea that you were open-minded enough to recognize that everything you had been taught was not 100% accurate, and then open yourself up to the possibility of thinking differently. I think that that is something that our community struggles with, the idea that what we've held on to for so long could possibly be wrong, that it could possibly, there could be some misinformation in there. Like, that idea just, some people just, it makes them feel so uncomfortable. They pretend that they don't feel it. They try to bury their head in the sand, and they 100%, nope, this is my beliefs. And I can't explain to you why I believe them, but these are my beliefs. Why do you think that we do that? And that beyond that, why do you think religion is so important to Black and Brown families?
I think we do that because the struggle for African Americans since the time of the transatlantic slave trade has been so hard that we've just been in survival mode for hundreds of years. And when people are in survival mode, you kind of just focus on the necessities. It's how do I get from day one to day two?
Mm-hmm.
And the only constant during that whole period of struggle was the religion, was Christianity. So it seemed like it was there through the whole time. And that's what people use to get themselves through slavery, Jim Crow, civil rights movement, being impoverished, the war on drugs, the whole nine. So it's a place of comfort, So we just settled with that place of comfort. And since we're still in survival mode, we haven't had the opportunity that other races have to kind of find a way how to improve their situation because mm-hmm. they're no longer surviving. So I think that's the reason why we hold on it too much, or so much, I should say.
I tend to 100% agree with that rationale. I think that's very, very true. You can't, when you're, there's a movie I watched, the Queen of Katwe, and it was about a young girl in Africa, and her teacher recognized that she was a master chess player. And he was trying to get her mother to understand, like, you need to send her to school every day. I need her there because this is going to be her ticket out. And her mother is like, yeah, that's nice. I need her to go sell so we can eat today. You're talking about something that's 20 years in the future, and I'm talking about something that's going on right now. And there was this collide between the two of them because she could not see past her struggle to what infinite possibilities there could be. And he couldn't understand, like, how are you not, you know, how are you not understanding how great this could be and open yourself up to this opportunity? So I think that in a lot of ways, it's pretty much that that clash, what you just talked about. When you're in survival mode, you can't see past, you can't even think to question something that is the one thing that is stable in your life. So the idea that you don't have the time or the luxury to go and ask questions. So I think you put that very eloquently. So you did have the time to ask questions, and you did ask a bunch of questions, and you went on this journey. Tell us, if you can, give us the Cliff Notes version, I guess, of what are some of the things you discovered in EFI that really spoke to you, that you really had, that were very different from your Christian background? And then beyond that, once you found these new ideas, what has it done for you in your life to be able to embrace this new way of thinking?
Well, what we learn in African spirituality is a lot of the things that we experience here on this planet, we actually chose for ourselves to experience so that we can evolve and grow. Whether that's the things that we perceive as good or the things that we perceive as negative, a lot of those things we had already preordained in heaven. And the other things are just due to the choices that we made as we were having this journey here on Earth. As far as for me, the Cliff Notes version is I had got to a point where things that were always demonized, I began to question, you know, why is that?
What kinds of things?
Like, for me, it was voodoo.
Okay.
So I would hear about voodoo, and I was like, I don't really think that's as negative as people say it. Like, there has to be something to it. Like, why are we spending so much time Hollywood demonizing this thing? And so I started to study that. And a friend of mine who I had met in the lodge, he started studying spiritual systems of West Africa. And we started comparing notes, and we came to the conclusion what I'm studying was pretty much almost identical to what he was studying in other tribes in West Africa, like the Akan tribe. So then we came to realize that at least over West Africa, they all had the same belief system. The only thing that separated one from the other was language. Mm-hmm. So I started to go on this journey to find out how I can get more information onto these spiritual systems. And the friend of mine, he actually found the gentleman who later on became our Aluo or our godfather. Mm-hmm. And he heard him speak. And then I went and I heard him speak, and I was just like, I was floored. Like, the questions that I had, he was able to answer the questions. Like, one of the biggest issues that I had with Christianity, I thought it never made sense, is when people would say things like when they were in a good place, whether they had some success, maybe they opened a business or whatever, they would say things like, I'm just living God's plan for me. And I would always think, what makes you think God had a plan for you? Like, what made you think that God sat down and said, you know what? I want you to do this very specific thing. And if that's the case, how is, you know, being a rapper, you know, or how is working in real estate, how was that benefiting the world to where you would think God would be like, hey, I want you to do this? So those were the things that just never made sense to me. A lot of the stories, you know, the Bible, the Jesus dying and coming back to life, that kind of thing didn't really make sense to me, because we're thousands of years later, and it would be helpful if somebody was walking around now healing people. So those kind of things didn't make sense to me. And when I found Ifa, it was able to literally answer every question that I ever had.
So what are some of the things that set Ifa apart from, and you mentioned a couple, obviously there's no resurrecting Jesus in the spiritual system of Ifa. Mm-hmm. There's no specific, there's no deity who's planning out your future in Ifa. What are some of the other major takeaways that are different from Christianity?
So ancestor reverence is huge. It's paying homage to those from your bloodline that came before you. The benefits that we are able to enjoy today, it came through the blood, sweat, and tears of our family members who, whether going through the slave trade, like I said earlier, going through civil rights, Jim Crow, things of that nature, they paved the foundation. And yet we don't reverence them in any of the Abrahamic faiths. In all African spirituality systems that I'm familiar with, ancestor reverence is a big deal. And the biggest piece, which is what I call the juju or the magic, is the system of divination. It's the ability to have a question now and not pray for it and wait for an answer, but to use one of the divination tools and get an answer immediately.
Wow. How many people, like how many years have we been taught just pray, wait for, just be faithful. Just have your faith, your faith can move mountains, the faith of a mustard seed, blah, 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 blah. The idea that in order for us to get that thing that we want more than anything, we have to wait for someone to decide it's our time. So what you're saying is one of the biggest differences is it is always our time. And if you have the tools to figure out the answer, you can always figure out what get the answer that you need now. I think that's huge.
Absolutely. I'm able now as a priest to divine for myself. But I still get monthly readings from my godmother. Mm-hmm. And I've been getting readings every month for probably 2 years now. I get annual readings on top of that.
Now, when you say readings, people are probably listening thinking, oh, he's going to a psychic. This is just some psychic, some psychic psychobabble. Like what is a reading kind of consist of? Is it someone you go speak to who has been blessed with a specific sight? Or is it literally like a process, and through a process, you're able to figure out, you know, your next steps in life?
See, that's the beauty of African spirituality. There are people who are blessed to have those psychic abilities, or blessed with sight, as you put it, in every religion, spiritual tradition. It's a gift from God. In Christianity, they call those prophets. The difference in African spirituality is you don't have to have a gift. You can be given the tools. And if you go through that process of initiation and have that contract with the deity that we call Arumala, you will be able to be taught how to divine. So you don't need gifts. There's actually a way for you to be taught. There's actually a way to divine, even if you're not a priest. You know, you can be taught how to do that as well. That's the difference. I've had situations where I was faced with a decision on whether or not I was going to take another job. Mm-hmm. And I went to Ifa and asked, should I take the job or not? And in one particular time, Ifa said, no, you shouldn't take it. if you do it, there's going to be some issues with you being involved with HR, something to do with sexual harassment, things of that nature. And I'm thinking, I've never had any type of issues at work whatsoever. So I was like, I don't see that being an issue for me. But I trust EFI because EFI has proven that it's, you know, it's right and it knows best. I just won't take the job. Well, in this particular job, a friend of mine that I used to work with is the one that set me up with the interview and the opportunity. About a month after I got my reading, he gave me a call, and instead of the normal conversations of this is the greatest job I've ever had in life, it was, I've never been through such a terrible experience. And I'm like, what's wrong? Like, that's literally how he answered the phone. And I'm like, what's going on? Got a new manager that came in. Long story short, there's a lot of stuff going down. You know, the whole team is down at HR. The issue with sexual harassment. And I'm just sitting there on the phone smiling. Not at, you know, the issue that he's going through, but thinking like, yeah, this is what EFI warned me against. And this is why EFI told me to stay still. And I have many other stories like that, and friends who have gone and getting readings. I mean, they've all been floored, same difference. But it's that immediate answer to what you should, shouldn't do, what's in your best interest, what's not in your best interest, things to look out for, things to expect.
And it's not, and again, I want to emphasize, if you're listening, he's not speaking about prophecies or sorcery. He's speaking about us taking control of our, of the questions that we have, not waiting and praying for an answer. There are tools which you can learn to use effectively to figure out and divine these answers for yourself.
Absolutely.
I love that. So we're talking about our kids and how important, like, can you imagine, can you even begin to imagine what a difference that that type of mindset would have on a child? To teach a child from the age of 4, your future is totally up to you. You can, you know, you can you can be your best self. You have every tool within you to be what everything you want to be. And you don't have to wait for an all-knowing, omnipotent, faceless being to grant you access to, you know, what comes next in your life. That would be amazing. Like, so empowering, I would think, for our children. Are there any resources that you can talk to people about or share where parents who might be interested in this type of empowering, different viewpoints, where they could go and learn more, figure out how to begin sharing it with their kids? Because this sounds like it is 100% a complete 180 degree departure from what we have held on to as a people for 400 years.
Absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing is to what you were saying earlier, I've never found myself to be so jealous of kids as I have been since I have got my, what's called my hand of EFI, started practicing EFI 3 years ago, because we have children all around. And I'm like, man, if I had access to this when I was your age, like, it would be amazing. But we joke in the Ile and say we have a children's church. Ile is a Yoruba word for house. That's what we call where we commune and as a group. We don't have regular service, so to speak, but we do have festivals and things of that nature. But we do have a priest who is over basically dealing with kids and provides resources for kids. I have a friend of mine who has kids, and he wanted to get some information for his children. So I do have a list of books and reading materials that I can definitely send to you.
Okay.
So that you can provide to your listeners. One thing I will add, though, about the kids, and I'm sure the parents listening will get this. There are some parents that are going to be listening. who, as a kid, went to their parents and said, I wanted to do this. And their parents was like, absolutely not. You got to go do this. Whether it's play this sport, or you can't play this instrument, but you can play this instrument, or you can't do gymnastics, you have to do this. What practicing E5 does, it gives the parents insight into the destiny of the child. What it is the child said before it came to heaven is what they wanted to do, who they wanted to be, and to be able to help their kids be that, as opposed to be maybe what they want them to be. We all know somebody who is probably very, very successful in this, in their career, and they're miserable because that career is not in alignment with their destiny. And Ifa says, true happiness is being firmly on the path to your destiny. So you have to be in alignment with what you came here to be, to find that space of true happiness. Can you be content? Yes. But that true happiness, there will always be something missing. And you will feel it in the pit of your stomach until you find your way to your purpose. And that's what African spirituality does. It helps to open that up to you. So you, your parents won't, or shouldn't at least, try to force you into doing something that you just didn't come here to do.
Helping our children find their true purpose as children so that they grow up to be more complete, whole, and fulfilled adults. I mean, that is literally the purpose of ReWoke, to help our children become the best versions of themselves. Jimmy, I want to thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming and dropping all these nuggets on us today.
Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate you reaching out to me. I love children. My compliment, Arisha, is Yemoja, who is the mother of the children of the fishes. So I'm all about the kids. So this was you allowing me to serve my purpose and my destiny. So I thank you.
Awesome. We have the power to divine our futures for ourselves. All we need is confidence and the tools. What an empowering concept. Tell us what you think about this idea over in our Facebook group at Just Like Me Presents. I want to know your thoughts. Show notes and resources to all the things we talked about today are available on our website, www.justlikemepresents.com. Be sure to share this podcast with other parents and educators in your circle, and make sure you hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. Next week, we will be taking a look at our own work environments and making sure that they are spaces that, as adults, we feel safe and valued in before we begin the hard work of advocating for our children. Thanks for listening, and remember, if our children can see it, they can achieve it. Parents, are you frustrated with traditional education? I was. Educators, are you struggling to find inclusive academic content that represents your students? I know the feeling. That is why I created Just Like Me Presents. Just Like Me Presents is a multimedia production and development company that stresses the importance of literacy, culturally relevant teaching materials, and active learning experiences. Check out our culturally responsive books and supplemental curriculums on our website, www.justlikemepresents.com. In the Just Like Me book and JLM pick sections, your child will be amazed at how many books they can choose from where the characters look like them. They've never had math explained the way we do with Remember Through Rhyme, and I can guarantee the history we share with Meanwhile in Africa isn't taught in any traditional public school. Let us help you get the tools you need to rewrite your child's education and set them on a path to success. If you have a child in kindergarten through fifth grade, trust me, you'll want to check us out. I think you're going to love our programs and the long-lasting positive impact they will have on your child. Our programs help students develop a strong sense of self, affirm their identities, and encourage critical thinking and entrepreneurial skills. Head on over to the website now at www.justlikemepresents.com and help empower your child to become the best version of themselves. And remember, if our children can see it, they can achieve it.